Welcome to Friends Congregational Church Sermons. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome and you belong. I'm Drew, and I'll be introducing this week's sermon. One of the things I love about Friends Church is that I get to bring my kids here and I don't have to feel nervous about undoing some sort of theology on the way home after church. I'm excited that my kids get to be brought up in a place that's loving and that teaches them how to be loving and how to love people well. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to learn more about our ministries in College Station, Texas, take a look at our website, friends-ucc.org. For this Ash Wednesday, we reflect on readings from Joel chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 6. The sermon is titled, How Will We Live? And is preached by our senior pastor, Dan DeLeon.
So a reading that comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, and this is from the Message translation. Hear these words. Be especially careful when you are trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure, play actors, I call them, treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get applause, true, but that's all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks, just do it, quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for 15 minutes of fame, do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you are doing. He'll reward you well. Don't hoard treasures down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. The word of God for the people of God. God is still speaking. Thanks be God. There's a meme going around among my clergy colleagues and pastor friends where a guy asks someone, "What are you doing on Valentine's Day?" And the person responds, "Rubbing dirt on people's faces and telling them they're going to die." That's Ash Wednesday in a nutshell. Not really. So how many of you grew up in churches that practiced Ash Wednesday or were ever a part of the faith community that practiced Ash Wednesday? Okay. For those of you who have had your hands up, what do you remember the priest or the pastor saying when they made the sign of the cross on your forehead or your hand? What did they say? You remember? Okay. To dust you shall return. You are dust. To dust you shall return. Okay. If you got the email today from the church, we were looking at that as something that doesn't need to be, we don't need to be sad about that. It's not a cryptic message. It's something to celebrate. It's a reminder that we come from the same stuff, and that stuff is the very stuff that makes the stars. We are made of the stuff the stars are made of. And that's really empowering and exciting that not only are we made of all that goodness, but that each and every one of us are, and we're united in that beauty, in that goodness. It's, you know, think of it as saying, you remember that you are stardust, and to stardust you shall return. That's another way to think about it. But what do we do with what Jesus says in Matthew's gospel about being careful that we don't show off our piety? How do we reconcile that with putting a sign of the cross on our forehead or on the back of our hand for everyone to say, everyone to see? Isn't that showing off? I mean, I have to confess that every Ash Wednesday, when we read this scripture from Matthew's gospel, I kind of squirm. But let me offer this. Don't think of the ashes and oil sign of the cross as a showy display of piety. Think of it as a humble reminder of righteousness. It's a mark of accountability to our moral compass that is set by Jesus. So hang on to that word righteousness. The New International Version of Matthew 6:1 says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before others, to be seen by them." And earlier in Matthew's gospel, just one chapter before in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." The Ash Wednesday mark of the cross is a mark of righteousness. And righteousness is not about moral perfection, but about being in line with God's priorities, which in Matthew's gospel are always about mercy. It's consistently about mercy, forgiveness. So why do we do this? And what is this mark for? We do this, we mark ourselves with the sign of the cross because it's an initiator for how we're going to live. It's a catalyst for doing the work that leads us to hunger and thirst for righteousness more and more. It's not a status symbol to show off. It's a mark that when we look in the mirror compels us to ask, how am I going to live? It's a mark that when we see it on one another implores us to ask, how are we going to live? What's the manner in which we will live? How will we live? In these times when it's so easy to cling to fear that passively maintains status quo ways of living out of a sense of privileged self-preservation, in our patriarchal context that's undergirded by misogyny, in our culture where racism is baked into the public and private narratives we consume every day without questioning them, in these days where militarism and genocidal violence are seen as necessary evils for some greater good, how will we live in radical contrast to that morally bankrupt reality? How will we live in a countercultural manner that tells the world justice, mercy, and love are what matter most to God? God who is the source of all righteousness. And the more you hunger and thirst for that righteousness, the more blessed all of us are going to be. How are we going to live in a way that conveys that? And that brings us to the scripture from Joel. The text that Pastor Trent read for us says, "Spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God?" And that's meant to be heard sarcastically, like, where's their God? But context is everything. And in our context, the question, where is their God, isn't prodding us to prove the existence of a deity to people who don't practice the faith that we practice. It's an invitation to authenticate our faith and to nurture our discipleship with Christ and to hunger and thirst for righteousness through words and acts of justice, mercy, and love to the point that it's flipped from a question that asks, where is their God, to a realization that says, their God is awesome. I'd like to know more about that good and gracious God. Justin Lee, the founder of the Gay Christian Network and the author of a book called Torn, Rescuing the Gospel from the Gays versus Christians Debate, writes this. People inside and outside the church judge Christianity by what they see in its practitioners. People in this house and outside this house are not going to judge the faith we practice based on the cross of ashes and oil on our forehead. They're going to judge the faith we practice and the God who invites us to practice it based on how that mark on our body compels us to live. So how will we live? I want to wrap up this message with getting answers from you one more time. How will we live? Let's answer it like this. What are the primary tenets of our faith? Or if that's too lofty or wordy, what are the top priorities of the faith we practice? Popcorn it with me. Come on. What are the top priorities of the faith that we practice?
Love one another.
Okay. Love. Love one another.
Acceptance.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Speak for those who have no voice or who have voice but the voice is not heard. So, we could keep sharing these. Keep hungering and thirsting for that righteousness that will make those words keep coming out of your mouth. But as Jesus said right after he told a story about a Samaritan man who bothered to stop on the Jericho road to help someone who had been beaten, robbed, and left for dead, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Listen to what we've said in this space tonight and live it. And let the signs of the cross we're about to have imposed on our foreheads or on the back of our hands remind us of our call to live like that. Amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. If you're in the area of College Station, Texas, you are welcome to join us for worship at 9 and 11 a.m. Central Time on Sundays. The 11 a.m. service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Friends Congregational Church, UCC. Our mission is to be united by the example of Jesus to live faithfully, love limitlessly, and serve boldly. If you would like to support us, we have a Venmo for easy donations of any amount at FriendsUCC, no dashes, no spaces. To find out what's happening in the week ahead at Friends, visit our website, friends-ucc.org, and subscribe to our weekly newsletter by emailing us at office@friends-ucc.org. We will keep you up to date with programs to deepen your spirituality, opportunities to get involved with the church, and will connect you to acts of service to the wider community. Our worship has ended, and now our service begins. Thank you for listening.